that good song. Proverbs 14 is our text today. The first verse of chapter 14. If you'll find that book in your Bible, that almost smack dab in the middle of your Bible, you'll find the book of Proverbs. I don't feel obligated on special days to preach messages that go along with the day, but if God leads that direction, I don't neglect it. And at first I thought, no, I won't preach anything on Mother's or Mother's Day, but as the week progressed, I decided, no, I think the Lord is leading that way. And some things I want to say to you this morning out of this passage. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read the first verse of chapter 14, one verse only, and chapter 14, verse number 1. Let's read it together because it's only one verse. Let's read it. Ready? And read. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Thank you, dear Father, for this day set aside by our nation to honor those who are mothers. Thank you, God, for every mother in this building. Bless them on this, their day, and not just today, but year-round. I pray, dear Lord, that they'll be found in the way of righteousness. I pray, Lord, that every one of them will be wise in the area of building her home, her house. And help me this morning to say something that would be a blessing and a help and encouragement to the ladies here and to those who will be someday a wife and mother. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. I enjoyed that. About four of us did this morning. Amen. I enjoyed it immensely. Thank you, Beth. That was a blessing. Man, oh man, oh man. Had to hold back the tears there a little bit. That's a blessing. Good. Now, My introduction to this message this morning doesn't mean that the men can go to sleep. Of course, some of you do anyway, but that won't change anything. And but remember, Father's Day is coming just a few weeks. Amen, fellas. So, and you young men, I was going to preach to the ladies today. One of these days you hope to have a wife. You better look for something more than a pretty face and a shapely figure. You better do more than that. You better look for someone with a character, something that has some woman that has Bible qualities for being a wife and a mother. It's going to mean far more than the shape of her body and the her facial features someday if she's a godly woman. Amen? And so listen carefully this morning. Brother Greg is about to get this thing all. But school had a play practice, and they pushed buttons and messed with things, and it got things totally messed up. And I appreciate it. He's been up there, I mean, doing everything since we started. He's about got it. And Brother Greg, I'm just trying to kill some time, amen, to let you get this adjusted. Okay, so when we get to the message, it'll be what it ought to be. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, hooray for home builders. Hooray for home builders. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Hooray for the home builders. Dear Father, thank you again for this special occasion. Speak to our hearts now, I pray. Open as we open your book, may we have your power. May the Spirit of God have access to our hearts. Control my mind, my words. And Lord, may I be that conduit that Brother Gomez talked about on Friday night up there at the graduation. Just may the message and the power of God flow in me, through me today. Be a help to people. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name. And amen. The book of Proverbs is filled with sayings of wisdom and penned by Solomon, who was the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ to live on the earth. These are not his words. They are God's words given through Solomon. But it is noteworthy and interesting to me that God gave these wise words through the wisest man to ever live on this planet. That seems fitting. That seems appropriate. A man who had learned to live by the principles of wisdom and was called the wisest above all, God gave the wisdom through the man Solomon. I still believe that the number one priority for every woman who becomes a wife and mother is her home. I still believe that. I'll always believe that by God's grace. I'm talking about her husband and her family. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Now, listen very carefully. This is not a sweeping attack on moms who work. I will not even address that issue this morning other than to say, be careful about making generic judgments about mothers who work. Be careful about that. There are women, there are mothers who work, and every day they go to work, they wish they could stay at home. Circumstances have forced the issue. Some are working and heading towards the day when they will join the ranks of the stay-at-home moms. We've got some in this church like this already told me, by this time, I hope to be home. That's excellent. I appreciate that. Be careful about making a generic judgment about moms who work outside the home. But here's what I want to do this morning. I want to curb, if I can, I want to curb the idea touted by the world now that a successful woman is the career-seeking, empowered CEO of a company, running not only a company but her family, which in some cases has been put on hold while she pursues her personal success. She has power, lunches, and a travel itinerary, and can cuss with the saltiest Marine drill instructor. She's hard. She's tough. She's smart. She has her own money and her own bank accounts, and she has time for working out at the local gym. I'm talking about today's career woman that the world is advocating. This is what you want to be, young lady. This is what you want to be, little girl, when you grow up. And I say, booey on all that stuff. My wife and I were talking some weeks ago, about this thing. Boy, I mean, the world just gets there. The world is vile. The world's vile. You know, now it's becoming a status symbol for these young, aggressive to be. And I hate to even use the only, I won't even say the word, but I'll spell it. There's some kind of honor and glory in being bitch. You seen that? They print shirts with it, like it's some status symbol to be that kind of a woman. I finally arrived at, in life because I'm tough, I'm hard, I can wear boots, I can boss you around, I can cuss with the drill instructor, I can assume status symbol in that. This world's gone nuts. This world's gone insane, crazy. That's the farthest thing from what God wants in a young woman to grow up and be. And I simply want to say, man, every wise woman buildeth her house. That's what God said. I know it doesn't jive with 21st century philosophy here in America especially, but it is still God's truth. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The highest calling for every female is still wife and mother. Still. Now, there will be exceptions, just as there are in the male gender. People whom God has chosen to remain single so they can give undivided attention to the Lord's work and the Lord's service. But for the greater portion of females in this room and around the world, in this country, the truth remains, nothing greater in life for you than wife and motherhood. And I applaud all you girls who grow up with that ambition. That's my ambition, to be a wife and a mother. I recently have seen your appointments with all the graduates every year, and both in our academy and those from homeschool families. And in having one of the appointments this year with a homeschool graduate, I said, "What are your plans?" And the young lady looked at me and shook her head, and she said, "You know, I'm not against college if the Lord leads that direction, and I'm happy to go, and I probably will. But really, just being a wife and a mother is all I ever want to be." I applaud that. I say, "God bless you. That's wonderful." That used to be what everybody did in this country, but now because of the philosophy in the world, you can't even get an amen at an independent Baptist service on a Sunday morning. We're so inundated now with the world's philosophy. My daughter's not growing up to want to be a wife and a mother. Shame on you. Shame on you. You got something higher for them to do? You got some higher calling for them to pursue? Well, they ought to make money. No, they need to go home and like bake cookies. And put food on the table. And have a house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. You say, "You're a Neanderthal, caveman, dragged around by the hair. I think they ought to lock you in a room, never see the light of day." Amen, you're right. No, no, no. That'll go on the internet now, won't it, Brother Tim? But can you delete that? Can you delete that on the internet tomorrow, man? You see, I'm not worried this morning, even about liberal church members who've grown up under the philosophy of the world. I'm not worried this morning about saying something to this pulpit that's going to offend you. I hope you are offended by God's truth. Amen. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The important thing in her life is her husband and her family. The highest calling God could give to a woman is that. I'm coming to say today, God bless you women who are not afraid to face the opposite direction that the world is traveling. You're looked upon with disdain. You're a stay-at-home mom. Get a life. Just reply, "Thank you very much. I have one already. I have one already. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it. It's what God wants me to do." You continue to say that. I've got one. I got a husband. I got children. I got a home. That's what I do. I'm talking about even some of you ladies who do work outside the home. Your whole focus is your family. When you're not at work, is your husband and your family. And that's how it should be. And I'm not condemning those who are working outside the home this morning. I'm just trying to curb the onslaught that comes from the world that says that women ought to pursue a career and be rich and have their own vehicle, have their own life, and be the leader God wants them to be. I say, bunk on all that. Grow up and be a wife and a mother. God will bless you and use you. Amen. I just want to say today, hooray for the home builders. Hooray for the home builders. Hooray for those who cook and vacuum and wash dirty clothes and fold the dry clothes and put away the clothes in chester drawers and in dressers. I say hooray for you. I say hooray for those who dust and mop and change diapers and mend clothes and bake cookies. Hooray for you. Amen. That's a good thing. Especially if they're chocolate chip or macadamia, something like that. Amen. Or oatmeal raisin. Or anything, any kind of cookie, really. It just, they all are good. Amen. I'm saying hooray this morning for the mother who washes windows and cleans dishes and knows how to make iced tea that you don't scoop out of a jar that says instant. boils the tea bags and knows how to make it, make the iced tea. Hooray for the mother who knows how to read books to their children and put up vegetables and hang laundry out to dry on the line. Hooray for the mothers who wear aprons and rock babies and sew dresses and use shoes to drive a nail in the wall to hang a picture on. Amen, while Dad's at work. I say hooray this morning for the mothers who know how to clip coupons and save money at the grocery store and put a cool washcloth on a child's fevered brow and take the homemade apple pie out of the oven and put it on the table and have the ice cream in the refrigerator ready to put on top of it. I say hooray for moms like that. Amen. And can I get a witness on that? Amen. Thank you. I thought for sure when we got the food, you guys would be with me this morning. Amen. All right. I say hooray for that lady this morning. I say hooray for the woman who let me find my list here. I don't want to miss anything. Here we are. Hooray for the woman who can get grass stains out of blue jeans. And hooray for boys that still get grass stains in blue jeans. Instead of computer numb fingers. They're outside, they get tripped up, they fall, and they get the grass stains in their blue jeans. And the mom, their blue jeans are 3 days old. And they got grass stains all over them now. Hooray for moms who know how to get them out. Share that with my wife if you can when you get it figured out. I'm not sure that you can get them all out. Amen. Hooray for the mom who knows how to do that. Hooray for the mom who irons dress shirts and makes warm throws for the couches in the cold winter time and who can stencil patterns on bedroom walls. Hooray for the mom who knocks spider webs out of the corners of ceilings and brushes the tangles out of the little girl's hair and helps the fourth grader with school project and sings the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me, to her children. Hooray for that mom this morning. I say hooray for the mom who greets her husband with a kiss. And I'm glad you're home. And another kiss. And another kiss. And another kiss. And makes him feel like she really means it. Amen. Hooray for that mom. Hooray for the mom who has no time for Oprah. No time for Dr. Phil and Court TV. Hooray for that mom this morning. Amen for her. The world's clapping for the other mom this morning. The world's promoting the other mom. I'm promoting the one the Bible promotes. Amen. I'm talking about the mom who puts a pretty bright bouquet of flowers on the kitchen table and takes the children to the dentist and listens to a child's woeful tale of how horribly their friends are treating them at school and how nobody likes me and the teacher's against me, and the mom who listens to all that and agrees with everything that they say. Amen. Hooray for the mom this morning who prays for her husband and children by name, who helps prepare the kids for church on Sunday and drops in the bed at night, dead dog tired, only to be wakened by a sick child an hour and a half later and rises up off the bed with no complaint and begins to be a nurse to that child. Hooray for the mom who swings a baby on a swing and takes time to talk to a teenage girl going through life's changes and knows how to get a splinter out of a little boy's finger. Hooray for that mom. Hooray for the mom who knows when her husband needs to be told, you're the greatest. Hooray for that mom and wife. And does it all happily because it is her joy to be wife and mom. The world doesn't clap for you, lady. You don't get any pens and blue ribbons from the world. But I'm here to clap for you this morning. God bless you. Amen. The Bible still says every wise woman buildeth her house. Buildeth her house. And a church, this church here, blessed with many ladies and individuals like that. And I appreciate it. God bless you. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Now, let me say this morning quickly. If you're going to be a home builder, if you're going to be a home builder, wife and mom, if you're going to be a home builder, there's got to be an architect. Got to be an architect. You know who the architect is? The architect is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127 in your Bible this morning. Psalm 127 in verse number 1. Notice what the Bible has to say here. Psalm 127, verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You see, the architect is the one who designs the project. That's what we're doing right now, meeting with Mr. Jarvis and the other people. They're the architects. They're the ones that will take the design that's in the mind and put it on a piece of paper called a blueprint. The architect, he leads, and the architect guides and directs, and he gives wisdom to women who want to build their homes. The Lord is the architect. Mom, you can talk to him every morning. He is available for consultation every day. He's available all day long. Every morning you can begin your day in consultation with the One who is the master designer for every home. It's the Lord who builds the house. If He does it, if He doesn't design it, and He doesn't build it, it's in vain. Let me encourage all of you dear ladies to have a prayer time. Let me encourage all you dear ladies to have a prayer time. And during that prayer time, seek the great architect's wisdom concerning the design for your home. The architect, you know what the architect does during the building project? During the building project, the architect comes to the building site. Brother Dennis, maybe, I don't know, maybe once a week in some cases, or once every 2-3 weeks, but he's got scheduled times that he comes to the building project, and he walks through the building, and he's checking things out. He's making sure that that all the builders, the laborers, and everybody working together is building what he designed to be built. And ladies, every morning you ought to invite the architect to come and walk through your house. Regularly invite the architect to walk through your heart. Ask the great architect, the master designer, God, the Lord, to check on your project. Invite Him to look into your heart. Examine me, architect, dear Lord, and tell me if there's any kind of spirit or attitude or anything that I need to change, any impact on my children that I'm making, anything that I can do differently for my home to build it. Please lead me, show me. Ladies, He's not just your husband's God. He's your God. He's your God. You can have a relationship with Him and talk to Him about your home. Ask Him for ideas and wisdom and seek His counsel and seek His face and begin your day. Maybe you have to get the kids around together and all gathered off to school. Get the kids busy in something that are at home so you can find some quiet moments. But man, set aside that time, every wife and mother, to seek the architect's input every day. He may need to redesign something. He may need to remodel. He may need to make some major rearrangements in your heart and life. And you invite Him to do that. Invite Him as the psalmist did in Psalm 19:14, where the psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." Boy, every mom and mother, wife and mother, ought to start the day out like that. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. Now, if you've got a decent husband, if your words and meditations are acceptable in God's sight, they'll certainly be acceptable in your husband's sight. Amen. Seek his counsel. Seek His wisdom. Talk to the architect. Every building project must have an architect. For a wife and a mother in the 21st century, facing everything that's thrown at you today, everything that's thrown against the house, the home, the family today, for a wife and mother to go day after day, never speaking to the architect is dangerous. Dangerous. You don't want to do that, lady. Be zeroed in with your architect. The Lord needs to build the house. He's the great designer. Seek His input. Ask Him for wisdom as a wife and a mom. Secondly, what else is involved in a building project? Not only the architect, but the blueprint. Got to be a blueprint. You might be able to put a shed for a lawnmower up in your backyard without a blueprint, but you can't build an auditorium like this or something across the parking lot or some office building down here on Latham Road or redesign Walmart down here or Jewel or build a new Kroger over here. You can't do that without some kind of a blueprint. Got to have something to follow. And ladies, there's a blueprint. Here it is right here. It's in your lap this morning. It's the Bible. This is the blueprint right here for every home. I said every home. You say, but you don't understand our home. This is the blueprint for every home. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully this morning. I was on this in Sunday school. I don't want to get off of it. This is not just the blueprint for blue blood Christians. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm talking about those who were reared in Christian homes and reared in church and reared in a Christian family. And from the time they were burping up their cereal, have been taught in the ways of God. Yes, the Bible is a blueprint for them, but it's not a blueprint only for them. It's a blueprint for every family. When you get saved, right, boom, immediately this book becomes a blueprint for your family. You say, but you don't understand the baggage, the upbringing, what I had was so different to what you preach and what some of the folks in this church have. I come here and I see these families. Friend, I want to tell you something. This book is for every child of God.
Every child of God. Listen, hey, as I said in Sunday school, I told my Sunday school class, there are kids who are reared in church from the time they're toddlers, and they get to be 25 and 26. They're blue bloods spiritually, but they don't live according to the principles of this book. They don't have God's blessing because of it. They look at me. There's no entitlements with God. We live in the land of entitlements. Everybody's entitled to everything. I'm going to tell you what. You want God's hand, you're going to pay a price. And nobody's just born into God's blessing. If there's a home that's blessed, it's because Bible principles have been practiced. There are Bible principles for husband. There are Bible principles for wife. There are Bible principles for children and child rearing. And they work for every family. So you don't know our educational background, our financial situation, how I was reared. The Bible works for everybody. 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 It's the blueprint. It's the blueprint. Ladies, it may sound old-fashioned, but godly women throughout time have followed the blueprint of the Bible, and they've built very blessed houses because of it. Yeah. I don't give a flip what the world says about how my home ought to be run. I don't care. I have no interest whatsoever in what Dr. Phil has to say. Zip! Zero. Do you understand how much interest I have in Phil? If Oprah, any of them. I don't need that. Got what I need right here in this old book right here. For a successful, happy marriage and home. And you can have one too. You get plugged into the Bible principles of wisdom. You can have one too. And by the way, it'll last longer than 6 years. Or 4 years. And then go the way of more than one in two marriages now in America ending in divorce. It's crazy. You build it on this book and you'll have one that will last for decades. Sure you will. It's a great book. You say, Pastor, man, what are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about the family. I'm talking about the home. Teddy Roosevelt's not an inspired scripture writer, but did you hear what he said? Nothing more important than a woman, a mother. I believe that. I believe the mom is in a very strange and wonderful way so involved in the spirit and attitude of the home. Ladies, you get plugged into the blueprint of this book right here. God will do something for your family. Yes, He will. You say, Pastor, you need to take time every morning. Take a few minutes in this book every morning, Mom. Take a few minutes in this book. Take a few minutes in this book, wife, every morning. You need to do it. You say, Pastor, I don't have time for prayer and Bible reading. My day is too full. I can't get everything done. If I stop for even 15 to 30 minutes, I get behind. Ladies, you know what it's like? It's really, it's the same principle as tithing. It really is. Here's two people. Here's one man. A man keeps the 10% that belongs to God in his pocket, so he's got 100% of his income to live on. Here's another man. He gives the 10% that belongs to God to God. He has 90% of his income to live on. Without fail, there are no exceptions. The man who lives on 90% of his income will live better, longer, and go further than the man who tries to live on 100% of his income. You say, that doesn't make any sense. His name is God. Now, that's how it happens. You can't do that. You can't live longer and better on 90% than you can 100%. It's not normal economics. It's called God's economics. You listening this morning? And in the same way, if you will take the time out of your day and set it aside for God, set it aside. Okay, you got little babies all around you and responsibility and work and they're pulling on your little dress skirt. I don't have time. Can you get 15 minutes? Can you take 20? Can you take 30? set it aside, I promise you, you'll live and get much more done and live much happier on 90% of your time, if you will, than keeping it all for yourself. Amen. Take the time with God. Get in the blueprint. Get in the blueprint. Check it out. This is the blueprint. He is the architect. He has given us the design for the family, the home, the marriage, every relationship in the blueprint of His Word. Take some time to get into it. Every wise woman buildeth her house. There's an architect. There's a blueprint. What else do you have when you're in a building project? You got materials. You got materials. You say, what are the materials for building a godly home, a blessed home? Well, they're found in Proverbs 31. They're found in Ephesians chapter 5. They're found in Titus chapter 2. They're found in 1 Peter chapter 3. They're not found at the University of Illinois. They're not found on channel 2, 5, 7, 9, 11, 23, 20, 68, 128, 10 zillion. The materials to build your home are not found on that television box. You say, you're kind of on a soapbox this morning about the TV, on purpose. Turn it off. It's not doing you a lick of good. They make me laugh. What, sensual humor? Cursing the name of Christ makes you laugh? Dirty stuff makes you laugh? Shame on you. Amen. All right, I'm not hot, I'm not fevered, I'm not even sweating this morning. Amen. I'm saying all this on purpose. Turn it off. The materials for building, ladies, are found in Proverbs 31, Ephesians 5, Titus 2, 1 Peter chapter 3. Learn the great qualities of the Bible when it comes to materials with which to build. That meek and quiet spirit, that submissiveness, that godliness. Amen. The Bible says it's of greater price than gold and silver and jewelry. That's what it says. It does say that. Yeah. No matter how much you got stowed away in the little jewelry box there, a submissive, meek, and quiet spirit's worth far more than that $5,000 or $10,000 piece of jewelry. Amen. Yes, it is. Read about Bible women, Jochebed, great saint of God, Abigail, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Eunice and Hannah and so many others throughout the Word of God that were great ladies of God. And by the way, don't miss the class this summer taught every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. By my wife, who once again will be speaking to the ladies about subjects that are pertinent to you. Don't miss that. It'll help you. It'll build you. I've never seen anybody give... She puts me to shame. The amount of time she puts into her lessons. She told me last year, I said, I'm not doing it. I'm done. It makes me too nervous. It just makes me too scared. I can't do it. And I always say, okay. There's just a time to say, okay. And then let it sit for a while. And then earlier this year, I came around. I said, what do you think about teaching the ladies this summer? Do you want me to? I said, yeah, I'd like for you to. Okay. Okay. Hey, man, it works. She'll be doing that again. You ladies will enjoy it. Amen, ladies. Amen. You can say amen. Amen. Amen, ladies. You will enjoy. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing to you. We might let certain ladies say an amen if the men don't. Amen. Because it is scriptural, and you got to get God's blessing on a service. Amen. And it is scriptural, believe it or not, regardless of what your college taught you. It is scriptural. Yeah, I'm talking about the materials. I'm talking about the materials in this book right here, ladies. You read about these women, and they'll help you build your house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. There's an architect. There's a blueprint. There's materials. There's a supervisor. That's what Brother Dennis does on the job. He's the field superintendent. Huge projects. Unbelievable what Brother Dennis does. I'm glad God put him in this church. Amen. Not just for that. He's just a good guy. I love him. He's the field superintendent. Every home has a field superintendent. It's the husband. He's the one who's the superintendent. You see, ladies, you build it, but you're not leading it. Amen. You build it, but you're not leading it. You see, all the builders come in. The plumbers and the electricians and the drywall people and the framers, and they all come in. But you go up on the project, there's one man leading that project. It's Dennis Kelson. Yeah. The trades aren't running it. He is. And that's exactly how it ought to be in the Christian home. The husband is the supervisor. He can't be and won't be on the construction site 24/7, but he is the supervisor. Amen? Do y'all not believe that? Do you men not believe that? You are the supervisor, are you not? Fellas, if we're going to lock down on this thing, it's going to get ugly. You are the supervisor. Am I not right? If we're going to lock down in this church on me against you and us against, we're not in this with you, then we're done. We're done. This is not me by myself up here. It's a joint effort. Good grief. The husband is the supervisor in the home. He can't be there 24/7, but he is the supervisor. Don't ever make your husband feel badly, ladies, for wanting to be the leader. Don't ever make him feel badly for wanting to be the leader. You just think you're the leader. He does. He's supposed to be. You just think you're the boss. Yeah. Yeah. That's what God intended for him to do. Follow his leadership. Don't ever knowingly do something or lead your kids to do something different than what you know your husband wants for that home. Are you listening? I could take time to give you stories this morning about women who led their families to do something different than what the husband wanted. And Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. There's a price to pay for that. A price to pay. You do what husband asks you to do. He's the supervisor in the home. Under God, follow his leadership. And then there is the laborers. There are the laborers. You say, who are the laborers? The architect is the Lord. The blueprint is the Bible. The materials are found in the Bible. The supervisor is the husband. Who are the laborers? The laborers are the wife who is wise. She's the one that does the work. The work of the family is largely mom's. Now that's tough. But it just is, man. All those things I talked about a little while ago, everything from keeping a clean house to good meals to clean clothes to working, I mean, you're the laborers. I know the world says, you're a stay-at-home mom, you don't work. I know the world says that. But you know that you do. The hands of a working wife are beautiful. The hair pinned up while cleaning with no makeup on and no jewelry and the hair pinned up and a little bead of sweat on the forehead, that's beautiful. The apron covered with flour is beautiful. The blouse with the stain of spit up on it is beautiful. That's your uniform. Wear it gladly. Amen? Wear it gladly. You don't need an attaché case. You need a burped-on blouse. Amen? You say, well, was it worth it? If I do that, will it be worth it? Well, the Bible says that when you're older, your children will rise up and call you blessed. And her husband also, and he praiseth her. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Buildeth her house. The Bible says the foolish pluck it down. Tear it down. Are you a home builder this morning, lady? Are you a home builder? Are you happy in that? Are you thankful God let you be a wife and a mother? Rejoice in it. I say hooray.
for the home builders. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I would go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved and I know it. Could you lift a hand this morning and indicate that by an uplifted hand? Thank you so much. God bless you. Put your hands down. Many hands went up. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure that I've ever been born again into God's family. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. I see a small child's hand. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Anybody else? I'm sorry, did I miss one, Brother Caleb, back here? God bless you, sir. I appreciate that. You may take your hand down. Pastor, I'm not sure where I'd go if I died today. Eternity is not settled for me. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Now, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if you raised your hand just now, would you look at me just for a minute? Would you look, just look up at me? God bless you, sir. And see a small child. The most important decision you'll ever make in life is preparing for eternity. Becoming a born-again child of God. When I was 18, I sat in a church service like this. The preacher gave me the opportunity to have somebody show me from the Bible how to be saved. I took it. Man, I don't regret it. The greatest decision that I ever made. We have Brother Nichols right here who can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Why don't you come and let him do that? He'll sit there. Right there. That's right, right there. God bless you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Somebody else this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Didn't preach on salvation this morning. Somebody else this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Who's here today? You've been saved and not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. You haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I've not taken that first step of obedience. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here this morning? Or you came prepared for baptism? God bless you. If you came right to be baptized, come on right now while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we'll get you all set and prepared this morning. That's wonderful. Anybody else? I've not taken that first step of baptism, believers of baptism. Anybody else? If you're here, you've been saved and baptized, you've talked to somebody about joining the church, and you want to do that, take that step of obedience, then you come, tell Brother Caleb, I'm here to join the church. That'll be a blessing. Now, ladies, I guess the message really does revolve around the wives and mothers and the girls who someday will be a wife and mother. I was a little bit punchy this morning on purpose. There's so much influence out there in the world today saying the opposite of what the Bible teaches. There's somebody that needs to be punchy about it. There's an architect for every home, a blueprint, materials that will help build it. There's a supervisor. And lady, you're so key to the building of it. Every wise woman buildeth her house, her marriage, her family. Pastor, pray for me. Something that was said this morning spoke to my heart. It may be my Bible reading, my prayer time. It may be that I am watching too much television, getting too much influence from outside sources, being influenced the wrong direction. Pray for me. I want to be a wise builder. Would you raise your hand this morning? God bless you, ladies. I appreciate that. May God bless you, each one. May you young ladies strive to be that kind of woman. May that be your heart's desire and goal in life. May you young men learn to look for in a person, in a woman, for something more than just a pretty face and a shapely figure. May God give you the wisdom and sense to look for someone with godly character. You're going to marry her, sir. Young man, you're going to marry someday. And turn the building of your house over to her. Keep that in mind. Let's use the altar this morning as needed. If God spoke to your heart, He spoke to you. Now you respond back to Him in a special way at the invitation time. Dear Father, I thank You for this morning, the mothers in this building. And I thank You, God, for the old-fashioned values of Your Word. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Lord, may we seek to be that kind of people. May You bless these women. God, thank You for them. Increase their tribe is my prayer. Help them in every one of these areas, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the ladies play us a song of invitation. Would you come this morning, use the altar as God has spoken to your heart. kneel here for a moment. Let Him speak to you again. Continue to speak to you. You to Him. Don't stop using the altar. God bless you. Would you come this morning? Would you come? As you come this morning, kneel. Acknowledge what the Lord has said to your heart today. And ask Him to help you. Would you do that, please? While we wait this morning, invitation time.